And now, if you will, turn to John chapter 5. We have a bit of a turning marathon. I'll say to you that I do not generally like to preach in this way, hopping, skipping, jumping through texts. But I think when it comes to what we are discussing today, the grace of God, that as we look at what Jesus has said concerning it, that we see that we're not drawing simply from one place. We're drawing from Jesus' teaching throughout his ministry and really the teaching of the entire Bible. And so we're going to take a look first at John 5:25 and then John 6:44 through 47 and 60 through 65 and then 10:22 through 30. So you can listen or you can try to follow along. Either way, listen to God's very word. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And now, chapter 6. Take our reading at verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. And now a little further down in that chapter, verse 60. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one comes to me unless it is granted him by the Father." And now to chapter 10. We'll take our reading at verse 22 and read through verse 30. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we pray this very hour that you will make us see the beauty of your grace to sinners. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What will it take for you to see your salvation as amazing again? What will it take for you to see grace as amazing again? We just sang Amazing Grace, and we all know the words by heart. Most of you didn't even touch the page with your eye. And I want to ask you to examine yourself as you sang that, as you belted out that tune. Is grace amazing to you? Has it become commonplace? Has it become, well, that which you take for granted? Grace is not something to get over. Grace for us is not something to become commonplace. It ought to be something that overwhelms us every time we stop and we begin to consider it, every time that we sing it, every Lord's Day that we gather here, called under His banner, coming in His name, we ought to be overwhelmed at grace. That no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what God's providence has put before us, that no matter what we are enduring or going through in this moment, that God has chosen to save sinners such as we are. And our souls ought to be flooded with such joy, with such a gratitude, with such an overwhelming sense of relief, that we ought to be the most joyous people we know. And what will it take? What will it take? I think that we need to understand if we're going to be taken over by grace again, if we're going to see that God is so gracious that He saves sinners, we need to understand some things from the text that we have read, and they will be our points. We need to see this morning that grace makes dead men live. That's our first point. Grace makes dead men live. Our title is about God's effectual call, and it's referring to grace. So you can write down that God's effectual call makes dead men live. Secondly, God's effectual call is by grace alone. And lastly, God's effectual call is eternal life for those who hear. God's effectual call is eternal life for those who hear. That's what our texts are driving at this morning. Our texts come in the midst of conflicts surrounding Jesus' ministry. If you were to read the passages before and after each of the places where we have read, you will see that Jesus is interacting and engaging with those. Well, some are His disciples that just don't get it, and some are adversarial to Him. And they want to kill Him because, well, He's talking about grace. And you say, wait a minute, why would they want to kill Him as He's talking about grace? Well, not everybody likes grace. Grace is audacious. Grace is overwhelmingly, well, it's hard to put in words. It is that which comes in and makes unworthy sinners rebels, makes them children. And that's audacious. Because Jesus' adversaries were those who were saying, no, 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 no. Salvation is coming to us because we are keeping the law. Because we are doing that which we were commanded by God, or at least some measure of it. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees had set up an elaborate system wherein they were, well, they felt good about themselves because they did things more than others. You know the prayer that the Pharisee prayed next to the tax collector. And when Jesus comes along and he begins to tell them, no, no, it's not because you are born of Abraham by physical descent. No, it's not because you are better than others. No, it's not because you have done something worthy of salvation. They do not like it. And when he says, I am your salvation, they're ready to kill him. And in our text, Jesus hammers home to us what grace is. And as you see it, you should rejoice in it. Because it's your only hope. One man has said, the only thing that you contribute to your salvation is the sin that makes it necessary. And Jesus is here saying, I am the one who will save. I am your salvation from sin. And you receive it by faith. Grace and faith, and that is the beauty of God's effectual call. God's effectual call, we see, makes the dead to live. Verse 25 of chapter 5, Jesus is talking, and he's talking about the authority of the Son, and he says this, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. You see, the beauty of grace is that those who are drawn by the Father are those who have been made alive so that they might hear. Last week, we talked about the free will of man and how it is. It's like that colorblind person who is asked, what color is this? They can't see it. They don't know. But when God comes in grace, He makes them able to see. Well, dead men are we without Jesus. We're not able to hear. We're not able to respond. We're not able to even love Jesus. Because we're dead in sins. And, well, we want only that which is spiritually not good. We can't do any good. And so we are dead. And it takes the call of Christ to save sinners. Let me illustrate it for you. It's going to happen just 6 chapters over from where we are. In chapter 11, here is the most beautiful picture that you can have of your salvation, of God's effectual call. There is a man that Jesus loves, and Jesus, well, is going to raise him from the dead. Lazarus, you know the story, is Jesus' friend, and he is dead. And Jesus comes to the tomb, and they say, there's no help for him. He's been dead 4 days, and by now, there's a stench. And what does Jesus do? Roll away the tombstone. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't indiscriminately say, come out. He speaks into the tomb. And as you know, in the tomb, there were more than one body. It's not like we do. It was tombs where they were stacked on slots in a wall. And there was more than one body. And Jesus looks into the tomb and he says, Lazarus, come out. That's a picture of an effectual call, because what happened? Lazarus was made alive and came out. What's the picture here then for us? It's that God's grace makes dead men alive, sinners alive. Hearing is important in Jesus' ministry. Hearing is important in His teaching. Over and over again, as you read His earthly ministry, He's saying a little phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And here in our text, Jesus is talking about those who are dead. They will be made alive. They will hear. They will hear the voice of the Son. And so who are those people? That's what we have in John 6. In John 6 and verse 44, Jesus has been discussing the bread of life and how He is the bread of life. And now the Jews have grumbled against Him because they are spiritually dead. Their ears haven't been opened. They haven't been made alive to hear the voice of Christ. Jesus says to them, well, let me say what they say of Him first. So the Jews grumbled about Him, verse 41. Because He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does He say, I have come down from heaven? And then Jesus tells the way that men are saved. No one can come to Me, verse 44, unless the Father who sent Me draws him. The word here is like a net pulling out, like a net being cast in and fish being brought out. Except in the case of sinners, they are made alive and they willingly come, unlike those fish. It's a transferring from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous light. And so He says, no one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now, take it again to Lazarus. Who came out of the tomb? Lazarus. Why? Because Jesus called him out of the tomb. Why didn't the others get up and come out when Lazarus did? I think you get the picture. They were dead men. And so those who are being drawn are those who have been given ears to hear, those who have been made willing by grace. They are those to whom the grace of God has come and made their hearts no longer hearts of stone, but hearts of flesh. So that they love to hear from Him. And the question for you this morning is this: do you love to hear from Jesus? Because that's what chapter 10 tells us. His sheep know His voice. Do you love to hear from Him? Do you long to know Him? Do you long to know Him better? Are you in His Word, and does He speak to you there? Because that's how you know if He is yours and you are His. Those who have been made alive are those who come to Him. You see, there are many who will hear and be called, but they do not have spiritual ears. This is what you would say is a general call. The gospel goes forward. week in and week out. You hear of who Jesus is. He is the very Son of God who has come to die for sinners. He is the very one who has come that sinners might be pardoned, and it does nothing to you. And the gospel says, repent, turn to Christ, and your heart is not changed. That call, that general call, which is to go into all the earth, it serves to judgment to those who will harden their hearts against Jesus. That's what you see in and throughout these texts. Verse 52, then the Jews disputed among themselves, how can this man give his flesh to us? Jesus had told them, any who come to me will have everlasting life. And they're saying, nonsense. You see it again in verse 64 of the same chapter. Jesus has been talking and he says, there are some of you who do not believe. And in chapter 7 and verse 1, Jesus is no longer able to walk about openly because they're seeking to kill him. Instead of their hearts being softened, they're hardened to Jesus. You see, the gospel does two things. Just like the sun will bake clay, one man said, and harden it, it also melts ice and softens it. And that's the picture that Jesus gives. It takes God's call to make dead men live. That's why grace is astounding. Is that you, at one point, if you do not know Christ, this is still your case, but if you know Him, you at one point are a walking dead man. Spiritually dead. Going about with your ears stopped up and your eyes blinded to the beauty and glory of Jesus, and the only thing that you were contributing to your salvation was more sin. And the beautiful thing about grace is that God unstops your ears. He gives a pulse beat to your heart and He takes off your blinders. And so our larger catechism says of God's effectual calling that it is the work of God's almighty power and grace, whereby out of His free and special love to His elect, and from nothing in them moving Him thereunto, He doth in His accepted time invite and draw them to Christ by His Word and Spirit, savingly enlightening their minds, renewing and powerfully determining their wills, so as they, although in themselves dead in sin, are hereby made willing and able freely to answer His call and to accept and embrace the grace offered and conveyed therein. What's amazing about grace? It makes dead men to live. But more than that, the effectual call of God is amazing because it is by grace alone. In our minds, we think there must be something that we must do, don't we? We don't like the idea. The Pharisees did not like the idea that it wasn't something they can do. The audacity of grace is that it's all of God. It's all of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What? The faith or the grace? Yes. Yes to both. It is the gift of God so that no man should boast. The reality is this. We live in a culture and in a nation that has prided itself on its independence, on its ability to pull herself up by her bootstraps and to press on, don't we? And I want you to know that when it comes to grace, that's not how it works. That's why grace is amazing. Because we only add sin to our sin. And it's God's grace that comes in and changes us and makes us new and gives us life. Look at verse 63. Jesus is talking in verse 62. He's saying, well, what if you were to see something as great as the Son of Man ascending? Not even that would make you believe. And then verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. In verse 65, this is why I told you, no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. This is a hard saying. People don't like to hear that even if we saw the ascension of Christ, that's not enough to make us believe. The Scripture says it's not of our will, not of our effort, not of Him who wills, not of Him who runs, but of God who has mercy. And so Jesus turns to them and He says, some of you do not believe. And the reason for that is because they are entrenched. They are spiritually dead and they have no desire to know Christ. They are entrenched. They have not been given life by the Spirit. They haven't been made alive to hear. Belief is only by grace. And those who believe have heard the words of eternal life. That's the important part. Jesus is drawing out the teaching of the prophets. Whoever believes has eternal life. That's what He says in the verses before our text, and what He says in the verses after our text. Verse 68, Simon says, Lord, to him, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Do you see Him this way? Do you have nowhere else to go, no one else to turn to, not even your own heart? You see, God's effectual call is by grace alone. And if you see it, you should be amazed at His grace. And He goes on to say in chapter 10, Jesus is answering them, and here we see that God's effectual call, not only does it make the dead to live, not only is it by grace alone, but it is eternal life to those who hear it. They come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, tell us plainly. And Jesus says to them, I have been telling you. What else do you need? And I want you to see this morning, if you do not see the beauty and glory of Christ, it's because you're doing this to your eyes and you're doing this to your ears and you are crying out because you do not want to hear. And Jesus says, I have been telling you, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. That's a profound and hard saying. But here's the good news. If this morning you are here and you say, but I do hear, I do know that Jesus is my hope and the hope for this world, and I have no other hope, then you're hearing His voice. Don't do this anymore. Don't cover your eyes back up. Don't harden your hearts as in the day of Meribah where they fell in the wilderness. No, listen to that voice. For Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Now listen to this. Here's the beauty of the grace of God, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Here's the picture that Jesus sets forth in his teaching. We're dead in sin. Our eyes are closed, our heart is stopped, our ears are plugged. And he gives life. So that if you hear his voice, you come to it, you run toward it, you fly to Christ, and he will give you eternal life. You say, but I have done so much wickedness in my life. I have sinned so greatly in my life. There's no greater sinner than I am. And I say to you, that is good news. That is good news because that's his voice, not your voice. His voice is what would tell you this and convict you of this. His voice is the one calling you at that point. He's calling out to his sheep. No matter your sins, no matter your wanderings, no matter your strayings, come to me. And I will give you life. Rest in what I do, and you will be saved. No one takes that away from him. And no one takes you away from him. He will give you life if you but come to him this morning. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This morning, you may have never turned to Christ. You may never have looked to him. You have been resting in your own good works. You've been resting in your own good deeds. You're trusting that you, well, I'm better than so and so. I just haven't sinned in that way. That's not the voice of the shepherd. That's the voice of Satan. That's the voice of this world. That's the voice of those who crucified the shepherd. And if you follow it, you too are crucifying him with them. If you follow that voice, that line of reasoning, there is no hope for you. But if you are here this morning and you say, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus is my only hope. Follow that voice. Run to it. Cling to it. It is your hope. It is your life. Because Jesus is greater than your sins. His grace abounds more than your sin. And some of you are here and you say, but I've long said that I know the name of Christ. I've long professed to be a Christian, and yet I've been wandering from him, and yet I have not been in his word, and yet I have not been listening to him. And even as someone who names the name of Christ, I have sinned greatly. Is there hope for me? Even as someone who names the name of Christ, I've murdered. I have committed adultery. I have looked at pornography. I have stolen. I have cheated. I have lied. Is there hope still for me? Well, here's the question. Is there breath in your lungs? If so, then yes, there is hope for you. If you hear him saying, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, Jesus' call is life-giving. If you hear it, go to it. It is life to you, just like Jesus called out to Lazarus. Lazarus heard his voice. It was life to him. And the great promise of Jesus is this: I will raise him up at that last day. This morning, if you were here, the question is not, am I elect? The question is, do I hear his voice? And the answer is, if you do, flee to Jesus. What will make grace amazing to you again? What will make his call, his salvation, overwhelming to you? It's to know that he offers it even now. If you are here and you hear His voice, it's not too late. It's never too late. And that is amazing. Let's go to Him in prayer.